Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, the season when we prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus at Christmas. On this Sunday, as we heard during the lighting of the Advent wreath, we focus on the theme of love, a theme particularly appropriate given the baptism of Leif earlier. It may surprise you then that I'm using our Gospel reading from Luke chapter 3 as my sermon text, as it makes no mention of love. But bear with me, and you should see the connection by the end. Rereading selected verses. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. As we heard in last week's sermon, John the Baptist was related to Jesus. He was appointed to prepare the way for Jesus' ministry when both were about 30 years old. John did so by preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That is, John declared to the people of Israel that they were sinful, that they weren't in a right relationship with God, and because of that, risked going to hell. And so John invited the people to repent of their sins. He invited them to admit that they were doing wrong, to say sorry to God, and to show their contrition by being washed by water in the Jordan River. This must have been a very powerful experience for the people, because they started wondering if John was the Messiah, the person God had promised to send to save his people from their sins. But John answered, "No, I am not the Messiah, just someone sent to prepare the way for him." John explained that his baptism was just an outward sign of an inner change of heart. He baptized the people for repentance. But Jesus, who was the Messiah, well, he would actually take away the people's sins. After they asked for forgiveness, Jesus would forgive them, something we repeat at the start of every service in the confession and absolution. What's more, Jesus would give the people God's Holy Spirit to help them live according to their new life, to produce good fruit, as John put it, the same Holy Spirit that Leif received today. So now you can see the connection between this reading and today's events. They both have to do with baptism and with preparing for Jesus' coming. But where's the connection with the theme of love? John the Baptist certainly didn't appear to be very loving, did he? If anything, he seemed to go out of his way to offend people, calling them snakes, no less. Here's where understanding the difference between the Christian view of love and common usage helps. Australian society generally sees love as just an emotion. How people feel determines how they act. That's great when people fall in love, for example, but when their feelings change, so do their actions. For example, falling out of love is often seen as a reason to end a relationship rather than trying to persevere. There is also a sense in society that to be loving, we also need to be nice. That love avoids giving offence, even at the expense of other things such as truth or faithfulness. God's love, however, is primarily an action. For example, the well-known Bible verse John 3:16 shows that God loved us not just by feeling good towards us, but by doing good, even to the point of sacrificing his own son on the cross for us. It reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's not that God doesn't feel emotion, but he doesn't let how he feels stop him from doing what is right. Therefore, for Christians, love means imitating God by acting for the good of others, even when it requires self-sacrifice. Love means, for example, remaining faithful to others even when our feelings change. It means keeping our promises even when we don't feel like it. Further, Christian love is not simply being nice. While not an excuse to deliberately offend others, love means telling the truth even when the truth hurts. For example, in the church, we talk about sin like a surgeon might talk about a cancer diagnosis. We don't raise the topic to upset people, but to help them see the reality of their situation and to encourage them to seek treatment. And so, from this perspective, we can see that John the Baptist was acting lovingly. John was speaking and acting out of genuine concern for the spiritual welfare of the people. He knew that without God in their earthly lives, they risked missing out on eternal life. And so John used strong words to jolt people out of their complacency and help them see that their thoughts and actions were contrary to God's loving plans for them. But John didn't just give his diagnosis to the people and leave it at that. He also gave them a hope of a cure. He assured them that God truly loved them and was sending his Messiah to help them. Jesus would take away the sins separating the people from God and guarantee them a new life with him forever. What's more, John told the people that the Messiah would help them to live out their new lives practically. Jesus would not only bring God's love to his people, but he would then help them to love God and love each other. He would help them to live sacrificially for others, not selfishly for themselves, telling the truth and keeping their promises even when it hurt. The love that motivated John the Baptist is the same love that led Sophie and Trent to bring Leif here today. They recognize, as we heard in today's rite, that we are born sinful and unclean, and the only cure for that sickness is baptism. And so, for no other reason than he loves Leif, God has now adopted him through baptism. Leif is now God's beloved child. What's more, God promises Leif, as his child, a wonderful inheritance, also described in the rite. God washes us clean in the waters of baptism, and we are born again as his children. Through baptism, our Heavenly Father forgives us our sins and unites us with our Lord Jesus Christ so that we share in his death and resurrection. And the Holy Spirit renews us and gives us eternal life. Now, as God's beloved child, Leif no longer needs to fear death or hell. Not because Leif has suddenly been made perfect, but because God has made a commitment to him this day. And because God is love, Leif can be assured by his baptism that God will never give up on that commitment. God will never cease to act for Leif's good. Even better, Leif doesn't have to wait until the end of his life on earth before he can receive the benefits of his baptism. God wants to give Leif and all his baptized children some of their inheritance right now. Because God is now his heavenly Father, Leif can approach him for help like he would his earthly parents. As he gets older, Leif will learn to trust that God really does love him and that through prayer he can ask his heavenly Father for everything he needs, including his daily bread, protection from danger, and forgiveness when he sins again. And as Leif grows in his relationship as God's beloved child, he will also receive the gifts we heard about in our epistle reading from Philippians 4. Gifts such as joy in the Lord, freedom from anxiety because the Lord is near him, and God's peace even in the midst of trouble, a peace that passes all human understanding. there's one more point I need to mention for all of us here today. And it's in the vein of John the Baptist's tough love. Baptism is a wonderful gift from God, which he gives freely to all who want it. But baptism is not magic. The gifts we receive in baptism don't come from baptism itself, but from the one who instituted baptism in the first place. This means we don't just baptize someone and that's the end of it. Rather, through baptism, we enter into a relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we continue to receive the benefits of baptism only as long as we cultivate that relationship. This includes learning to live and act as God's beloved children, actively loving God and other members of his family. While it's true that our loving actions will never make God love us, he already loves us more than we can comprehend. Once we are loved by God, we are motivated to share that love with others. We will bear the fruit of love like healthy trees in God's garden. This understanding is confirmed by John's warning to the people coming to him for baptism when he said in verse 8, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham." Apparently, some people listening to John thought they didn't need to repent and change their ways because they were Jews, descendants of Abraham. But John corrected their wrong thinking. While it's true they had become God's children through no deed of their own, only those who shared the faith of Abraham remained children of God. Those who failed to trust God as their heavenly Father and remain active members of his family were no longer his children. They had rejected their inheritance. The same applies to Christians. Only those who value their baptism and actively seek the gifts God offers through it will benefit from it. This is why we ask the parents and sponsors of the child being baptized to promise to do the following. Remember him in your prayers. Bring him to the services in God's house and teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. Remind him of his baptism, set him a good example, and provide for his instruction in the faith. These are not some arbitrary rules, but they're how all Christians, with the help of the Holy Spirit, cultivate a living and loving relationship with their Heavenly Father that will last forever. Here in God's house, God's beloved children grow in their faith, learning to listen to him and respond in thankfulness. Through the Lord's Prayer that we prayed earlier, they learn to ask him for all the things they need to live. And through the Creed, which we also confessed earlier, they learn who God is and what he has done for them. Last but not least, in the Ten Commandments, they learn to respond to his love with loving action. And finally, because it's hard enough for a parent to bring up a child in the world, let alone in the faith, we also ask the church to support them. As you heard in the baptism today, we are to receive Leif, whom God has given to us as our brother in Christ. Pray for him and be a good example to him. In other words, the church community is meant to be a second family, where we all have brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, grandmothers and grandfathers in the faith, to help us learn to be what God has made us in baptism, God's beloved children. People of God, you are blessed to have been adopted by him into his family through baptism. So I pray that God grant you the strength to do what you have promised and to live as his beloved children, both now and forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.